Episode 2. This is the second part of our pro-life mini-series dedicated to the Catholic Church's beautiful teaching on the dignity of every human life. Last week in Episode 1, we prayed with the apostles, increase our faith. And our faith grows when we have a personal relationship with Jesus. We reflected on what Pope Francis said in paragraph 4 of his encyclical letter, Lumen Fidei. Faith is born of an encounter with the living God who calls us and reveals his love. Transformed by this love, we gain a fresh vision, new eyes to see. This personal encounter with Jesus changes everything. Transformed by the love of God, we start to see things from his point of view. We start to see everything with his loving, divine eyes. Transformed by the love of God, we get a fresh vision of his commandments. Our fresh vision sees the laws of God not as thou shall not, but as helpful road signs. Slow down. Watch for falling rocks. Stop. Yield. No U-turn. Watch the curve. Road closed. All wonderful divine helps on the way to heaven. That's because Jesus really wants to make sure that we get home safely. The road signs are very important, but the road signs are only a means to entering into a deeper encounter with the living Lord Jesus. Today in episode 2, I want to begin by looking at just a few courier headlines. You probably remember this one back on May the 14th. The headline read, Minnesota Redefines Marriage. And I said to myself, who came up with that terrible headline? Our elected officials may have changed what makes up a legal marriage in the state of Minnesota, but they didn't redefine marriage because they don't have the authority to change the definition of marriage, because the definition of marriage was given to us by Almighty God. Then here's this one from June the 26th, when the United States Supreme Court struck down part of the Defense of Marriage Act. You see the headline there. It says, Tragic Day for Marriage and Our Nation. And in the article there, I've kind of highlighted it there. According to Cardinal Dolan of New York, he says, and I quote here, the court got it wrong. The federal government ought to respect the truth that marriage is the union of one man and one woman, even when states fail to do so. The preservation of liberty and justice require that all laws, federal and state, respect the truth, including the truth about marriage. And so says Cardinal Dolan of New York. And to his words, I say, amen. That's the truth. You know, when all of these evil decisions were being made, I remember watching the news, as many of you do, and I remember one reporter asking a pro-life person, how does this law hurt you? I mean, I know you disagree with these laws, but these laws don't hurt you any. I remember shaking my head, saying, oh, yes, it does. Anything that goes against God's loving plan for us really hurts us. It takes us off the one-way road to heaven onto unpaved and unmarked roads where we'll likely get lost in the woods and make it very difficult to get home to Jesus. Last year, during the 15th annual Pro-Life miniseries, we reflected extensively on the beautiful plan God has for marriage between only one man and one woman. And after one of those episodes, somebody who was visiting came up and told me after Mass that I was being mean to our brothers and sisters who have a same-sex attraction. This visiting person says, Father, you're saying that they're terrible people. But they aren't, Father. They're good people, Father. Now, if this is what you thought, I am really, truly sorry. As is often the case, I didn't make myself very clear. So, let me try it again. I'll try to be clear this time. I want to talk about same-sex attraction in three points: dignity, attraction, and behavior. First and foremost, human dignity. I cannot say this enough. God loves each and every one of you. God really loves each and every person on this planet. Each person, every person is beautiful in the eyes of God. I can't say that enough. Every person has dignity because they are made in the image and likeness of God, which means that he sees a reflection of himself in each one of us, a little divine spark he sees reflected in each one of us. God loves each one of us. Jesus loves us so much that, as C.S. Lewis says, he has crossed over enemy lines into our territory so that he can save us from the enemy and bring us home to heaven. Furthermore, it seems to me from a reading of sacred scripture that God has a special love for lepers and for cripples and for the blind. He has a special love for tax collectors and prostitutes and sinners. It seems clear to me from the Bible, the more wounded you are, the more broken you are, the weaker you are, the greater sinner that I am, the more the Lord loves me. Isn't that beautiful? Good news? The Catechism of the Catholic Church affirms this truth, paragraph 2357, when it says, persons with same-sex attraction must be accepted with respect, compassion, and sensitivity. There it is. Isn't that beautiful? Every person, even with the same-sex attraction, every person should be treated with dignity, respect, compassion, and love. They are brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus commands us even. He says, I command you, love one another, each and every person. This is the good news about our human dignity. Now, number two, having a same-sex attraction is a disorder. That's what the Catechism clearly says in paragraph 2358. It says it is objectively disordered. One day a letter arrived in the mail, in my mailbox, from a group called Rainbow Parents, parents who have a child with a homosexual tendency. They declare in the letter, homosexuality is a variant of the God-given gift of human sexuality. A homosexual attraction is a gift from God. Let me set the record straight. A same-sex attraction is not a gift from God. It is an objective disorder. It is sort of like leprosy, blindness, diabetes, a disability, or an addiction. These are disorders. It's not the way that things should be. But the good news is that these disorders are not sinful. To have a disorder doesn't make you a terrible person. A same-sex attraction is not sinful. It's not sinful to be attracted to members of the same sex. Men who are attracted to men and women who are attracted to women have a disorder. Our friends and family members are not terrible or sinful because of their disorder. On the contrary, God has a special love for everyone, especially the wounded and the broken and the disordered. Before we continue with the topic of homosexual behavior, it is very important for me to include this little footnote. You know, the English language, sometimes English is a funny language. Sometimes we say things like, I'm hungry. Have you ever said that before? I'm hungry. And the person next to you kind of laughs and goes, ha, 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 hi, hungry, I'm Corey. Have you ever done that before? Somebody goes, I'm thirsty. And the person goes, ha, 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 hi, thirsty, I'm Tiffany. It's not very precise language, is it? You know, in Spanish they say, tengo hambre, tengo sed, tengo sueño. It's more precise, isn't it? They're saying, I have hunger, I have thirst, I have sleepiness. I'm not hungry, but I have hunger. This is an important footnote. Wilhelmina isn't blind. She has blindness. Blindness doesn't define who she is. Ralph isn't cancer. Ralph has cancer. His cancer doesn't define who he is. Penelope has a disability. She's not the essence of her disability. So we should avoid using popular labels saying things like Cornelius is a homosexual. No. Cornelius has a disordered same-self, same-sex attraction. But this attraction doesn't define a person. Okay, end of footnote. Finally, homosexual behavior. I hope that you know that homosexual behavior is always contrary to the law of God. It is always and everywhere wrong. The Catechism is clear on this point. Paragraph 2357. Homosexual acts are intrinsically disordered. They are contrary to the natural law. Under no circumstances can they be approved. This teaching is based on God's infallible, inspired word in the Bible. Just take a look at Romans chapter 1, verses 24 to 27. Just take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Take a look at 1 Timothy 1 to 10. Do you want me to continue? There are thousands of passages in God's word. It's very clear. So, it's not sinful to have a tendency toward alcohol, but if a recovering alcoholic acts on that desire, we drink too much, it's a problem. It's not sinful to have a tendency toward chocolate. But if a diabetic acts on that desire and eats 75 brownies a day, it's a problem. It's not sinful at all for a married man to be attracted to other women. In fact, that attraction is good and natural. But if a married man acts on that attraction, we got problems. In the same way, our friends and family members who have an unnatural attraction to members of the same sex can never act on that attraction. A person with a homosexual orientation is called to chastity. It bears repeating. God loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. God loves me, but he doesn't love all of my actions. God loves every person suffering with the same-sex attraction, but he despises homosexual behavior. And the good news is that the Lord can't wait to forgive all of our sinful behavior in the sacrament of penance. He's waiting for that personal encounter. This beautiful truth about the dignity of the person, same-sex attraction, and the evil of homosexual behavior will only make sense when you're having an encounter with the living Lord Jesus, which we have each time we read his word in the Bible. The word of God is not chained. When we read the Bible, we have an encounter with a person, the living Lord Jesus. And this explains our gospel story today. Of the 10 lepers, it seems to me that only one had a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus. The other 9 lepers have their leprosy healed, but only one realized that Jesus didn't treat his disease. He healed him as a person. Only one leper realized that Jesus didn't look at him as a leper, but as a beautiful person who just happened to have leprosy. And because he had this personal encounter with the Lord Jesus, he returns to Jesus giving thanks, falling at our Lord's feet and glorifying and praising God. Faith is born of an encounter with Jesus. Transformed by his love, we see things differently. Only the Samaritan leper saw Jesus differently. And so his response was different. And Jesus rightly says to him, "Your faith has saved you. Your faith in me has saved you." It is our faith in the living Lord Jesus that heals us, that allows us to see things from his point of view. Oh, Jesus, Master, have pity on us.